Indeed, indeed. And I'm taking a look at the website of Dr. Biggleson right now. Pretty fascinating information. And we'll be back. We'll have a full hour of phone calls now with him on Coast to Coast AM. Harvey, what does good blood look like? What does bad blood look like?
Oh, that's very interesting. And you can see some of that on my website. But basically, the cells should be round and full. There's activity in the blood. You'll see things dancing around the blood, and I rate that should be a moderate dancing. It depends on the size of the platelets. And then there are pictures in the blood. It's all over the blood. There are pictures of intestines and stuff like that. Everyone's got things that are off in the blood, but the real key is the size and shape of the cells and how filled they are with oxygen and the platelets. And if I follow those, I can tell you how far offline you are, how well oxygenated you are. But it's looking at the blood has been so much. It tells you so much of everything, and it's amazing that no one does that. I got microscopes at home. I got microscopes in the office.
They're everywhere.
They're everywhere. It's amazing that I'm the third person in U.S. history to look at the blood.
Do you recommend that everybody get a blood chemistry checkup?
First of all, again, it's not the MD. So, if you're going to go to your osteopath, I don't have a problem with the blood chemistry on that. But I get them occasionally, but I can tell just from the drop of blood what the ball game is about. The problem is if you get the MD and your liver tests are off, they don't really know why.
No, they don't. What do they give you? Pills, right?
Right. And, to me, if you got your liver tests off, I try to figure out why, and then there's ways that I can make the liver work better. And, that's what I do. That's nothing in modern medicine. They never teach you how to make the body work better.
What causes your liver enzymes to be wacky, and then all of a sudden they're good again?
Well, it depends. The liver cleans up all the garbage in the body, and that's the key. If alcohol is a poison, that affects the liver. So it depends on, the diaphragm is a real key, because the diaphragm actually squeezes the bile out of the liver, and if your diaphragm is not working, that'll back up the liver. So the structure is major important. It's one of the first things I do is I get the person's diaphragm moving and get the system pumping and breathing.
We're going to go to Switzerland right now and take a call from Phyllis on our Skype line. Go ahead, Phyllis. Welcome to the show.
Hi, George. Good morning. Good
morning.
Afternoon.
Hi. My
question is about glaucoma. I have a dear friend who's got, they say, is genetic, and I wondered if he had any alternatives and knew of anybody in Switzerland or Germany that she might go to.
Glaucoma.
Okay, yes, there is in Switzerland. I have there's a very good physician named Byron Braid, Braid. He was a student of mine. He's very, very bright. Glaucoma, yes, I probably think, and especially what they got over in Switzerland and some of the remedies they can use, they could probably take the pressure off the eye. And I would bet if I had a case like that in my hands, it would not be difficult to treat, but you got to do what's called neural therapy. Treat the nerves in the eye, take the pressure off the skull bones, move. There's 22 bones that are moving. You got to take the pressure off that. People like Byron Braid, Dr. Braid knows how to do that. That's who I would recommend.
How can she find him?
He's in Switzerland. You can probably just type his name in, and if not, if you get back to me, I'll find him, because he was in a conference in the United States about 2 weeks ago, and I'll find him for you.
Okay, and how does he spell his last name?
Braid.
All right.
Very, very bright man, and he's one of the few that I would say I really trust a lot.
All right. Thanks, Phyllis. What do you think of medical marijuana eye drops?
I've never heard of the eye drops. That's very interesting, but it certainly will work on you. It'll take the pressure down without question, and there won't be any negative effects on it. Because it does, what marijuana does, it relaxes the whole nervous system. It relaxes the musculature.
Okay, so years ago, I was 2200, got LASIK surgery. I'm 2015, but that was never proven to, long term. So what's going to happen to me?
Oh, well, the laser surgery, I have no problem with that, by the way. My son had laser surgery too.
Okay.
No, your vision shouldn't be any real problem. If that cornea starts to be a problem, and I doubt it, the cornea doesn't have any circulation to it. If that laser surgery worked on you, you should be fine.
Hey, what are floaters, Harvey?
Those actually, what happens is sometimes when the eye is too big and stuff, and it's too big and it's thin, nearsighted people like that, the retina will actually, pieces will break off and stretch
I always thought maybe it was dust in your eye or something.
Well, it's inside. It's inside the vitreous of the eye, but it's actually pieces of the retina and edges of it that may have broken off, and the retina's a little loose, but
really?
Way in the periphery.
Okay.
And they're annoying. They float up and down, but they'll settle down by gravity.
We're going to Honolulu in Hawaii, west of the Rockies, way west. Here's Mike. Hey, Mike, go ahead.
Hi there, guys. Hi, George.
Hey,
Dr. B.
Good to have you.
I'm sure glad you guys are on tonight. It's been a wonderful show, and I'm really enjoying it.
Thank you.
And Dr. B, I've just been recently diagnosed with prostate cancer. It's been confirmed by biopsy and stuff like that. They've got me on a routine now that's leading up towards external beam radiation and implantation seeds. Whether it'll go that way or not, I'm not sure because I don't see my urologist again until the 16th of this month. And we'll see what the results of the latest PSA are. And if they're favorable, then we'll go ahead with that route that I just mentioned. Otherwise, they may change and do something else.
Prostate cancer, I said it earlier, is probably the easiest cancer to treat. Every man will get it if we live long enough.
Right.
Okay. And, you know, it goes mainly to the bones. If you make the bones strong, it can't do anything except grow locally.
Okay.
There was an old chemical formula that worked called Honvan. You can look it up on the internet, Honvan. It cost 50 cents a pill, and they took it off the market. Every Mexican doctor knew about it. And it knocks out prostate cancer so fast. It's incredible. You may find it in India and stuff like that.
Okay. Do they still have it in Mexico?
They may have it in Mexico. I don't know. But, you know, type it into the internet and see what you can find on it. It was taken off the market in 72.
What are the ingredients?
It's a chemical. It'll chemically castrate the system. The difference is it worked and it was inexpensive and they took it off.
What do you think of saw palmetto?
Saw palmetto is very good. Very good. It'll keep the prostate
enlarging, right?
Yeah, it'll keep it from enlarging. And I tell people the best way to keep the prostate from enlarging, a lot of sex.
Yes.
Okay. It drains the prostate.
Huh. Okay. Well, right now you mentioned the castration. Right now they have me on Lupron, which is in fact a chemical castration.
Right. And what happens with Lupron is you get refractory to it, and then they have to switch you to Ulixin, and they switch you to other ones. If you look up Honvan, it works 100%.
And by the way, when you talk about castration, just so people don't get the wrong idea of what you're talking about, explain that, Hart.
Well, it's chemical castration. What they're doing essentially is they're giving you feminizing hormones, okay, and it shrinks up the testicles and stuff like that and shrinks that up. That's the way they treat prostate cancer. Okay, and it's a chemical castration, essentially.
Would you assume that everyone who has cancer, if they had a pH test, will show that they're more acidic than alkaline?
The cells will be acidic and the blood will be alkaline, 1,000%. Everyone. Cancer's a mold, grows in that environment. Poor oxygen, acidic cells, alkaline blood, the mold grows.
So would you recommend that he change his pH level?
Yeah, that's the key. It's how do you change the pH level? You know, it's attitude is a lot. Diet's part of the show. Changing the pH level is not as easy as people think. But we used to, like when I had my clinic in Mexico, we'd have you on IVs and keep the pH stable all the time while we did a little bit of chemo and we had great results.
I went out and picked up some pH test strips, and I do it all the time. I always check it.
It's very important. And the biggest thing, attitude. Laugh, take a break, and stuff like that, and you'll see your pH.
You're a staunch believer in that, aren't you?
Oh, but attitude sets up everything. It sets up the physical. If you're angry, your face structure will show it, your body structure will show it, and it will start to cause things.
Springfield, Illinois. Used to go there a lot. East of the Rockies, here's Maryland. Hi, Maryland.
Hi, George. I can't believe I got through
to you. You did. Ever been up to Iliopolis? God.
Yes, I have.
I used to have a little horse farm up there a long time ago.
Oh, my God. I'm a first-time caller, long-time listener. I just can't believe it.
I knew
I would because I prayed about it. But anyway, I'm so glad to get through and talk to this doctor. My goodness sake. I have inflammation, terrible. I've had knee surgery, back surgery, hip surgery, and foot surgery. My cholesterol is very high. My blood pressure is very high. I refuse to take the... I've had Lipitor. I had permanent nerve damage from it, and my hair got thin, so I quit taking it. And I'm in vitamin therapy now, but I need to get rid of this inflammation. I know you said about diet has a lot to do with it, and getting rid of the waste products.
The diet is only a portion. The key is the surgery. The surgery is a cutting with a knife, which will create a major inflammation and a block wall. What you need to find out, if you go into a physician, if you got any questions, have them call me. And we can do neural therapy. There's ways to treat the scars and release the scars and the inflammation. And you would see the performance of the whole body getting better, the cholesterol's changing in that. The cholesterol's are a result of what's going on. If you treat the inflammation and treat the scars, everything will change.
What do you mean by neural therapy?
Neural therapy is you treat nerve points. It's a philosophy that came out of Germany 50, 60 years ago. It's the nerves that are feeding the tissue, so you treat those areas. And the biggest thing you do, the biggest block, you go after things like scars. You treat those and loosen those up so the body can clean those. And that work, like I said, that's been done 50 years plus in Germany, and I've been doing that for about 25 years.
You do it with a machine or anything?
No, it's injection. I'll take Procaine. Procaine is not just an anesthetic, it'll break down.
You're going to inject our scars?
Oh, yeah.
Ouch.
Oh, it's not as bad because scars, you know, for a few seconds, hold your breath. It's not a bad deal, and scars don't have the nerve tissue in it, so it's not as bad to inject the scars. But afterwards, you'll feel so much better, you won't believe it.
Marilyn, any more questions there for you?
Yes, also have this inflammation in my foot. I've had two sisters die of cancer, one pancreatic and one breast cancer, too. And I know a lot of that is through diet. One doctor even told me she had 63 treatments. She only needed three. And I was her caregiver, and her kidneys failed. And I know that's what caused it.
Well, first of all, there's a lot of overtreatment by the medical system and all of that. So my biggest thing is, you know, is don't, if you go to your doctor, if he's not an MD, that's another story. You'll get a better chance. If there's an MD that you're going to that wants to learn, give me a call. I'll tell them how to treat it. It's very easy to treat it, to get rid of the inflammation.
Is cancer also genetic?
Well, we have genetic tendencies, okay? If your genetic tendency was heart disease and you break down, you'll run into that. If your genetic tendency was cancer and you break down, you'll run into that. Depending where the tendencies are, we'll break down and run in those directions.
I knew a guy whose father died when his father hit 45. Guess what happened to the guy? 45, he died.
You know, it's that's our tendency. We do not have to, though, follow that.
Maybe it was self-fulfilling, huh?
I think a lot of it is because we become the same habits as our parents. If we change the habits and the lifestyle, okay, and change our attitudes, we will also live differently.
Yeah, I look at my dad, he's 88, and I keep going, go, Dad, go, you know?
My dad lived to 96, and he 92, he had hip surgery, and that put him down. He never worried about anything.
Yeah, you know, it's when they fall or something, that's what gets them.
Yes. And then they have the big surgery, and that's it. They don't move. You can't take a person 90 years old, 85 years old, and bench him for a while.
Camarillo, yeah. California, Doug's turn. Go ahead, Doug. Thanks for holding.
Boy, you guys are two incredible men helping out mankind. I mean, really, wow.
Thank you.
hey, doctor, let me ask you a question. Now, I'm a healthy person, 58, 6'2". I don't worry about things, and I'm lean, 195 pounds.
Oh,
I don't
that's
think
good. You're in good
anything.
Shape.
Yeah, I am. Only thing I ever had wrong with me all my life, my lipids are 1050, but I don't know. I've never been. I feel healthy, look healthy. Now, here's what happened. I've always taken and drink oxygenated water, which I learned on Coast to Coast. About a year ago, I got a divorce, could no longer afford it. And about 4 months ago, somebody mentioned about the baking soda.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, well, hey, oh, yeah, there, I could get oxygenated that way. So a quarter teaspoon a day I started taking, and in 2 days, it felt like somebody had taken a physical nail and punched it in my skull in the top, just in a point. I mean, just it felt like a nail was just kind of stuck in my skull. It hurt. So I didn't connect that to this baking soda. But the next 2 or 3 days, well, that nail was there. I didn't take baking soda. It went away. Then I took it again. It came back.
Huh.
And I remembered that 15 years ago, I began to put on a little weight. And I took Alka-Seltzer for about 2 or 3 months. Well, that has baking soda in it. And I remembered, geez, I went to the doctor because that same thing that felt like a nail in my head had happened back there during that time I'd taken Alka-Seltzer. So I thought, well, gee, maybe it's detecting a weak spot, or maybe it's oxygen. The oxygen is detecting something that's going to blow up in me someday or something. What do you think?
Well, first of all, if it's happening to one side of the head, okay, that's an interesting question. The first thing I would look at is the skull bones. There are 22 bones that are moving. What's called a cranial osteopath can get them moving right. If it's happening one part of the head, there has to be an imbalance of bone stuck. And a lot of that, too, could become from the roof of the mouth, really sets the way a lot of the skull sets. So that's a very major thing, why it's going to that area. I can't tell you, unless I had you in my hands, why the baking soda is affecting you that way, because I'd have to see you and understand what your pHs are and what's affecting you as an individual. But the skull and the shape of the mouth have to be very important in why it's hitting that area. Okay, and there's very few people. I have a dentist that I work with very closely, but he's in Vancouver, but he really understands the shape of the mouth, the skull. There are dentists in the International Academy of Biological Dentistry and Medicine that understand that also. Very important. So, you know, it's that one part of the skull that the pain is coming from, so something is wrong with the shape of the bones there.
And it's triggered by the baking soda.
Whatever it is, that's firing the gun. But it's been loaded. It's been loaded because the skull bones are out.
Well, George and Doctor, it was a pleasure to get through and to talk to both of you.
Okay, Doug.
Okay, good luck to you. Find yourself a good osteopath.
Now, generally, though, taking baking soda, sodium bicarbonate, doesn't hurt you, does it?
No, not at all. It should not. You know, why it's happening to him, I'd have to ask specifically, but, you know, that's his story. You know, everyone's an individual.
Does it oxygenate the water? Or is it just help increase your alkaline
level? It's helping more calm you down. It's putting you more balanced in your pH. The more you more tend to be on the alkaline side, when your cells tend to be more on the alkaline side, you're much calmer and you're much more focused.
What do you think of genetically modified foods?
Well, you know, to me, anything the system gets their hands on, they're messing it up. And to me, you know, if you can't read the label on it, it's in a package, it's no good. I don't like any of that stuff. I don't like this newfangled stuff at all. Basically, I live by the KISS principle: keep it simple, stupid.
Yeah, that's the name of the game.
That's the name of the game. It's so much simpler than people think. Get ourselves out of all of this craziness, all of this packaged stuff. I live in this town that's all organic, which is great.
What have you done personally for your own health?
Well, number one, I've always got an osteopath working on me by my side. I've had my treatments. When I was 3 weeks old, I was operated on. So I've always had stomach problems. I've had scars treated on that. My health, frankly, I'm in pretty darn good shape taking care of that.
How old are you?
I'm 70 years old.
Good for you.
Thank you. And it's not just the diet. It's enjoying the life, okay? And it's I get my working. I retired for a few months. I was going to blow my brains out.
You'd be done. Yeah,
I'd be done. It's enjoying your life and doing what you enjoy. You know, frankly, you know, you enjoyed it. You've been doing this. You're a good talker. You're a Gemini. You like the thing. It gives you better health.
Well, that's true. Stay with us, Harvey. We're going to come back in just a moment. We're going to take final phone calls with you. Harvey's website, again, it's linked up for you at coasttocoastam.com. As for me, just fire away at george@coasttocoastam.com. And by the way, enjoyed the video chat today with you Coast Insiders. I had a lot of fun. And we'll have more. We'll be back in a moment. Harvey, how many doctors are practicing homeopathy these days?
Well, homeopathy in Arizona, they've probably got 200 people licensed now.
Wow, that's great.
But this different than what I do. Yes, that's really great. I'm very excited about that, that I started that ball game. And more doctors are getting into the philosophy. But I want to mention something very strongly. I do the blood. There are very few that do the blood. If there are people that are doctors out there, patients that got doctors out there, I want students. I want to teach others because it's overwhelming and get this word out there.
I guess you got to teach them what to look for, right?
Well, we can do this through the internet and everything, and we can set up seminars. And I'm going to be at the Health Freedom Expo with you in Long Beach.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I'll have my microscope there. Okay.
You carry it with you wherever you go?
Well, we'll have a booth there. I'm lecturing at 4 p.m. on Friday. and we'll have a booth outside there, and so we'll show you the microscope and everything. And you know, I want to get more and more people involved because, frankly, I'm overwhelmed.
That's interesting.
I feel like I'm
going to be there. I'm going to be there Saturday. Your speech is on Friday, but you're going to be there Saturday too.
Yeah, I'm going to be there the whole weekend.
Okay, I'd like to look at this blood.
Oh yes, I think it'd be real fun. You'll see it. It's real exciting to see it.
I want to look at the blood.
Yes.
Okay, let's go to Peter, International Line. He's in Canada. Hi, Peter.
Hi.
Good to have you with us.
Thank you, George. I've been listening now for several months to your broadcast, recommended by my sister. She is in Arizona, which I used to live at. I am a spinal injured person. I had my accident back in 87 and C4 fracture, and it was fused. And I caught a little bit about earlier on your broadcast where you were talking about spinal injuries and recovering from that. I'm very, very interested in what can be done.
Well, the problem with spinal injuries, again, and the nervous system is the most difficult to regenerate. And if it depends on the spinal injury. Is the cord broken? Is the cord just bent and not getting its circulation? There's ways that we can start to straighten the cord out. And there's possibilities to stimulate regeneration of the cord. But the best ways to do it, you know, is honestly in the future, and some people do it in Mexico, but Europe more in the stem cells. But it's the toughest to regenerate. Liver is easy to regenerate and stuff like that. But the first thing would be is the structure, to finding out, is it bent? Is it not getting the circulation? There's only 1 millimeter flows. If you're knocked out a certain amount, that flows can be blocked, and then the spinal cord weakens greatly. You know, I would look up to see you find a good osteopath where you live, and they'll be able to tell you certain things. If not, you know, you live in Arizona, you said?
I was in Arizona.
Okay. The other ways is ways that I can actually take a look at a slide and see what we can come up with. But spinal is the most difficult to deal with, but it's certainly possible. Like I gave this story that one gal earlier.
I see. Well, I'm partial incomplete.
Chances are that can be approved by people and understand the neural therapy by injecting the spinal roots and by the structure, but we don't know, you know, don't know that one. You can look up the American Academy of Neural Therapy on the internet and see if there's someone near you that does that type of stuff.
I see. Okay. And is there a way to reach you? My sister works in homeopathy, and she is very diligent about finding lots of things that help me out.
Sure. She reached me through my website, and I'll answer you one way or another, and I can answer and talk to her about that, or I get someone to do it. We can certainly make a connection and work from there.
Okay.
But, you know, do this, and then, because it's, you know, what I do is get the body back in its best working shape, and very few people understand that concept, and I can explain it, but it's not difficult. But you need several different types of practitioners that know what they're doing to get at that. You know, but as honest as I can tell you, I can't tell you if I had my hands how much better I can get you, but I can probably get you somewhat better. But it depends if the spinal cord is just twisted, bent, or is it broken, or what the story is.
You should have a doctor locator on your website.
That's a very interesting idea, because there aren't that many people that I trust out there.
That's right.
But I will put that up on my website.
Yeah, you can do it by closest zip code or something like that.
There's lists of doctors that I was at a conference not that long ago, which I gave a talk, and the doctors there got it. They really got it. And you looked about 150 physicians in the audience, and they understood the concept that we were coming after.
Linda is in Cleveland, Ohio, first-time caller. Hi, Linda. Go ahead.
Hi. I'm so glad I got a hold of you. And
You waited long enough. I'm glad you got on.
I have been in holistic health for a long time. Unfortunately, due to stress, I ended up with glaucoma in my eyes. I had to have surgery, laser surgery. I've been trying to treat it naturally. Is there anything I can do to treat it with natural eye drops, or something like that? And the other question is, I now have cataracts, and he wants to change the lens. What do you think about that?
Well, number one, things like that. Yes, I used to do a lot of cataract surgery, and you will see better. So as the lens gets cloudy, you're not seeing. Yeah, I would like the surgery done myself. So I don't have any problem with the cataract surgery. The other thing is, and I've mentioned it before, find what's called a cranial osteopath. They will manipulate the bones in the skull very gently and take the pressure off the eye. If they take the pressure off the eye, the glaucoma will do better. And that's a real key. Structure is a major, major key to disease, and a classic osteopath knows that.
All right, great. Let's go to Josie in Richmond, Virginia. Get you in here, Josie. Go ahead.
Hi, I don't have a computer. I certainly wish you had a telephone number, or at least if I want to network your website to somebody else. I don't know, George, how long you keep those on your website.
Oh, they stay under the archives almost forever.
Oh, because I don't know, you know, when I'm trying to tell somebody else about all this wonderful doctor. Dr. Harvey, I'm one of those that was born in 37. I'm Scorpio.
Uh-huh.
And I find that I was in the era of the three-year-olds got their tonsils removed in those days.
Right.
And then after my first baby, he felt some lumps in the ovary, so he thought, well, it's a good idea to have that taken out. And then he ended up with one quarter left, and I immediately got pregnant. But anyhow, I do have a scar there where he had to go in and cut. So I'm basically a person with a good constitution, but things are, you know, symptoms are happening. I had whooping cough after traveling about 10 years ago, so I cough quite frequently, just normally, and I'm not even sick. But I do have a real problem with the lower back, number one, and I think the thyroid. I think the thyroid problem is epidemic. I really do think, George, by the way, you talk about fluoride. I'm really anti-fluoride in the water.
Me too.
And you know, you can't get around it because if you take a shower, you're getting the molecules right in your skin. And if you go out to eat, they make soups and other foods with water. So I know I have been diagnosed with a thyroid, and I don't want to take thyroid pills. I don't want to take any kind of pills like that. So maybe you might have something that you can talk about that might help with, you know, because I'm sure there are other people out there that have the same problem, you know.
Well, first of all, number one, I'm not greatly against thyroid pills because the thyroid tends to get weak, and at least it's a natural hormone. It's not a foreign thing, number one. Number two, the breathing. I bet the scar is pulling on things so you cannot get that lungs and diaphragm expanded completely. And you're the type of case that I'll bet if we came into the office, I would treat the scar over there and you'd wind up with a deeper breath. You see that? I would treat the belly button and the diaphragm, your breath would be so much different. That's not that difficult. But the scars are pulling things, and that's not allowing the diaphragm, I bet, to expand. So that would be the key on that one. Thyroid, I have no great problem. Most of that comes from the mouth. The thyroid drains and picks up a lot of garbage. The thyroid will soak up a lot of toxins. But again, if taking a thyroid hormone is at least natural to the body, it's not a foreign chemical, so I'm not the people with low thyroids, that's not necessarily a bad one to do.
Did you learn this by trial and error, Harvey? How did you pick this all up?
I had a couple of teachers that taught me basics 25 years ago. They're both passed away, that taught me basics of this. And then a lot of this has been, it's more trial and error. As the more I learned how to treat the blood with these remedies, and the patients got better, the more experience I got at. It's been a process. Learning is a process, I tell people. Disease is a process. Cure is a process.
Dawn in Riverside, California. Hi, Dawn. Go ahead.
Boy, I'm glad I got on before your show was over.
Super.
I love your show, George. Been listening to you for years.
Thank you.
And I don't know anything about what's coming up in Long Beach because I'm in Riverside, so I'd like to be there.
Yeah, just go to our website. Check the calendar section.
Okay, the calendar section.
Okay.
I don't know anything about that. Doctor, great to talk to you. It's been an exciting show. I'm a thyroid cancer survivor.
Uh-huh.
And I was diagnosed in 92, but it was also in the lymph nodes. So I had a reoccurrence in 05 where they took out another nodule. And my CRP
is elevated. My highly sensitive CRP is elevated at 17 last I had it checked. And I'm just concerned, you know, with, you know, the initial diagnosis back in 92. I was young. I was like 27 when I originally was diagnosed. So at this stage, I'm just concerned about it coming back again. And, you know, what I can do maybe to get that inflammation down or what suggestions you might have.
Well, first of all, number one, thyroid cancer, I don't look at it like other cancers. It does, it spreads more locally. It's a much better prognosis than that.
Mm-hmm.
You need to almost find someone. What do you do with the thyroid? There's very few people. You can look up the American Holistic Medical Association, call my office. Mm-hmm. Maybe I can find someone in your area.
There's a Dr. Mark Starr who's been on our program, if you want to Google him.
Okay.
Starr.
Okay, I will.
What I do is tell people a lot of times is come out for a week or two, and we'll. I look at every case as what I call a runaway freight train. First, I got to catch the train, then I got to control it, and then I got to bring it back to the station.
Okay.
In 1 or 2 weeks, I can catch and control it, and then you can go back, and we can deal in the distance. I can easy to work in the distance with you with your physician there once I get control of you and know who you are.
Okay, well, I'm looking forward to getting a chance maybe to meet you when you're going to be out in Long Beach. So.
Come over to the booth and listen to the talk.
I definitely will. And one other thing, it's off topic, but it has to do with the gallbladder. I had my gallbladder removed. Once that's gone, I mean, I have a problem with excess bile salts. Is there any way you can treat that when your liver is just making too much?
Oh, no, it's not that your liver is making. Your liver doesn't have a mind of its own to do that.
Oh.
That's their answer.
Oh, yeah, that's what I've read.
That's what they're saying. And realize these people haven't cured anything, so they're not greatly experts on this.
Right.
But, you know, they take more women's gallbladders out than men. It's very unusual. But, again, as soon as we treat that area and that scar area, you'll feel so much better. But this body was such a great body. Don't throw organs away, you know, that are important to the body. What they've done to it is almost like, it's barbaric just to throw the organ away. You don't need that.
Harvey, what do you think of the soul?
I'm stunned at how much I believe in that how much I believe in the energy, the soul, the spirit, and the reincarnation, because, again, I'm a left-brain physician, but that has to make sense. It totally makes sense. I've actually seen people and taken slides, and I look at them, and I know they're dead already. Like the soul has left the body.
It's gone. Yeah.
Yeah, you can see that. You can see, to me, the life is in the blood. I think the soul travels through the blood, and I'm a total believer in that philosophy.
From Napa, California we go. It's Gene's turn, west of the Rockies. Gene, good morning.
Thank you, George.
Sure.
Dr. Biggleson, 5 years ago, my broken leg was repaired with screws and a pin. And the bones mended, but the tissues have not healed despite physical therapy. And I'm told nothing more can be done for this condition. They call it reflex sympathetic dystrophy, RSD.
They have a name and an initial for everything.
Could your neural therapy help it?
Yes, without question. You do treat that, and I guarantee you your leg is going to feel a lot better. But since you've already had an injury with the metal plates in there, you know, it's never going to be perfect. But I had a case like yours the other day that limped in and walked out.
Oh.
Okay, you'll see dramatic changes, the change in the swelling of it, the change in the feeling of it, as soon as we treat that scar.
Thanks for the good news.
Yeah, and it's
super.
And were you in Napa?
Yes.
Yeah, not that far away.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you. Bye.
How do you feel when you have a patient that comes to see you all screwed up and ends up leaving and feels pretty darn good?
That's what turns me on. It's so exciting. It's so exciting. I mean, I hug my patients. It's so exciting. They come in and they go out happier. I mean, this is...
You look like everybody's favorite uncle, you know.
Yeah, but there's nothing more rewarding. That, you know, to me, the best rewarding you have in life is service. And when I'm doing the service like that and they're getting better, I mean, it's such a turn-on. I love my life doing that.
Let's go to Oklahoma. Robin, let's get you in here. Hi, Robin.
Oh, hi, George, and hi, Doctor.
Hi.
I need to know, this is something that's been going over 20 years, and they find I had to go on disability, and they say it's arthritis. Okay, I went through menopause, and they're wanting to give me Fosamax.
Well, you know, that's again, I wouldn't do it that way. You know, women, I think they're really beating women apart by doing all this hormonal therapy on it, the bone therapy. They want to give you the Fosamax. If your bones won't deteriorate, if you go out and take a half hour to an hour walk every day, your bones are not going to deteriorate. What most women happens after the kids are gone and everything, they just sit around the home, and that's why their bones deteriorate. Use it or lose them.
What do you think of people who retire too early?
Well, to me, that's a death sentence. You retire, you're just waiting to go into the grave.
Got to stay active, don't you? Mentally and physically.
Life is it's a constant process. I'll probably end up dying working, and that would be a goal.
That's what I'm going to do. One day they'll go to a commercial, and Tom will come in and say, he's gone now.
Yeah,
that's how I want to go.
Life is made. I get up every day, like Buddha says, what a wonderful day to die. His basic concept is he's going to live every moment of that day and get as much joy out of that day as he can.
One last word of wisdom to everybody who's listening to you today. What do you recommend?
Oh, the best to recommend is, again, it's taking care of yourself more than anything else. The MD is only disease, so get yourself some other type of practitioner, especially a structural person is very good. Again, label on it, don't eat it. Get out, get fresh air, get your exercise, don't pound your body around. Like I said, yoga, tai chi, those types of things really stretch the body and breathe. The better the breathing is, the better you're going
to
live.
That's the way to go. Thank you so much, Doctor. On our next Coast to Coast show, we're taking a walk on the paranormal side. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Stephanie Smith, Ross Mitchell, George Knapp, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie. Somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.